read that to our text in 1 Corinthians?
I've taken four words from verse 8 of chapter 2 as the title of this message. For had they known. And I want to spend a few minutes looking at things that we as believers in Christ know to be true. And I want to look at how we come to know these things. In these verses that we just read, Paul is telling the Corinthians that the revelation of Christ in the heart of a sinner, and also the further revealing of the things of Christ through the Spirit of God, given to His people over time, are not to be found out by much learning or through the wisdom of this world's so-called wise men, whom Paul here refers to as the princes of this world. No, everything that we come to learn about the Lord and our Savior are given to us through revelation by the Spirit of God. You can read about Christ by reading through the four Gospels, and you can learn all the historical facts about all the things that He did as He walked this earth, in the same way that you can read about any historical figure, any man that has ever lived. And yet you'll simply know the facts about that person. You won't actually come to know the person. But there's many scriptures that tell us that we can know Him, and we can know the things of God. Paul makes this crystal clear in the last few verses of chapter 2 that we read, because we read, starting in verse 9, "As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Paul teaches them in verse 4 that his speech and preaching was not eloquent, using enticing words of man's wisdom, because Paul knew, as all believers know, that these things would do them no spiritual good, because their faith wasn't to be grounded in man's wisdom, but rather, as these verses say, in the power of God. This word "known" that we find in verse 8 of our text means specified and identified, apprehended with certainty, acknowledged, manifested, recognized, or revealed. And that last definition, revealed, is the one which best applies to the things here spoken of Paul. There are mysteries concerning the things of the Spirit of God which cannot be found out by investigation. No, these deep things of God can only be known one way, and that is by revelation. By God, through the work of the Spirit, showing us the hidden mysteries and the hidden wisdom of God. How many times in our lives have you planned and done something that just didn't turn out at all the way you had planned? And you later have to deal with the consequences of those actions. And how many times have we said, "If only I'd known, I wouldn't have done it that way, or I wouldn't have done it at all." We learn about the things concerning this life by experiencing the things of this life and hopefully learning from our mistake. And it's not just us. It's not just lost men and women. It's not just believers who do these things that they later regret, because we have many instances in the Scriptures of men of God doing things that they later regretted. When David decided to number the people of God, Joab tried to talk him out of it, warned him that it was a bad idea, that it would be a trespass to Israel. But David did it anyway, and it ended up resulting in the death of 70,000 men. 70,000. How do you think you'd sleep at night knowing you were responsible for the death of 70,000 men? And I'm sure that David deeply regretted that decision and thought, if only I'd known. When he committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and later put her husband on the front lines of the battle so that he would be killed, David paid the consequences for those actions. God took his newborn son. And again, I'm sure David deeply regretted what he had done and the heartbreak that resulted from his actions, and no doubt thought again, if only I'd known. And when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached to those men of Israel and told them how that the same Jesus whom they had crucified was now made both Lord and Christ, the Scriptures tell us they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" We didn't know. We didn't know that the man who we had killed was the Lord of glory. We didn't know. But unlike the lessons and the things of this life, which we learn many times the hard way, I know I have, the things of God and the Spirit of God are given to us by revelation. In Jeremiah 9:23-24, we read, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Our God tells us that he exercises loving kindness as he lovingly and tenderly brings those young sheep to himself, to the feet of Christ. He exercises judgment, which he did when our sins were laid on Christ and he was judged and punished for those sins. And he exercises righteousness as he then clothes us, covers us with the righteousness of Christ. We've already concluded that we cannot know God through much study and learning, but here our God tells us that our glory is in understanding and knowing him. And as I said a few minutes ago, the only way to understand and to know the mysteries hidden from ages and from generations is by revelation. I can't emphasize that enough. By God showing us these hidden mysteries. Paul speaks of these mysteries, these hidden things of God, in several places in his writings. He uses that term many times. And it's a wonder to me that our God has granted for us to know these mysteries. It is given unto us to know these. Not earned, given. Just as everything we have in Christ is given to us. Not because of our merit, but because of his. So it is given to us to know the deep things of God. And this is exactly what Christ told his disciples in Matthew 13:11 as to why he spoke to the multitude in parables. Because he said this, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given." The sharpest minds who ever lived could not discern the mysteries of God by human wisdom. If they could, then only the so-called smart people, the high IQ people, would know God. But we know from the scripture that we just read that it's exactly opposite. Because Paul tells us in this chapter that God has chosen the foolish things of this world. But once it is given to these foolish ones to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, they become more wise than the wisest man. And ironically, the so-called wise become fools who say in their heart, "There is no God." Thomas Jefferson is a man whom I greatly admire. as a historical figure, he was a genius. The man was an inventor, a statesman, a patriot, and of course the author of the Declaration of Independence. Like many others of his time, he was a child of the Enlightenment, believing that a man can attain to a higher level through much learning. But he's a perfect example of men trusting in their wisdom and their much learning when it comes to knowing the things of God. How do I know this? By a simple statement that he wrote in a letter to a friend. Listen carefully to these words. This is what Jefferson wrote to a friend. And this is what I mean by not learning the things of God through much human wisdom. He wrote this: "I can never join Calvin in addressing his God. He was indeed an atheist, which I can never be. Or rather, his religion was demonism. If ever man worshipped a false god, he did. The being described in his 5 points is not the God whom you and I acknowledge and adore, the creator and benevolent governor of the world, but rather a demon of malignant spirit. It would be more pardonable to believe in no God at all than to blaspheme him by the atrocious attributes of Calvin." Much of man's wisdom was given to Mr. Jefferson, but sadly, it was not given to him to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, nor the God of that kingdom. And based on that statement that I just read, and unless Mr. Jefferson had a revelation later in life, which I find nothing in his writings to indicate that he did, he is at this moment suffering the unimaginable wrath of God in hell. And we'd be in the same situation, were it not for the fact that it is given to us to know the mysteries spoken of by Paul. There will never be one of God's elect people who in the end ever makes a statement, "If only I had known, I would have believed on Christ." Because it's given to us to know the things of God. And there are many scriptures that bear out this truth. There are things that the people of God know. We're not just pretty sure. We know them. One of the definitions of this word "know" is to regard as true without a doubt. And how do we know that we know what we know about Christ and God? By faith. Faith in Hebrews 11 is called the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is something that proves confirmation, or provides confirmation, proof, validation, and documentation of something. The only way we can know the things of God is by faith, knowing that if our God said it in His Word, it is true. Job had never seen Christ with his physical eyes, and yet he made the statement in Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job had an assurance that he had a living Redeemer because he had the same faith that was given to us. That same faith was given to him to know this living Redeemer. David was taught of God to know certain things because we read in Psalm 119:75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me." How did he know that except by the teaching of the Spirit of God and by experience? He had seen it again and again in both his life and in God's dealings with the nation of Israel. He says, "Thy judgments are right." The believer knows in his heart that God judges rightly, that he does nothing in haste, nothing in anger, nothing on the spur of the moment. His judgments are right because his judgments are based on his holy and righteous nature. He can do nothing wrong, therefore all he does, including his judgments, are right. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians 3. I want to read a few verses. Ephesians 3, we'll read verses 13 through 19. Ephesians 3:13, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." And as I read this, I thought, how can we know the love of Christ mentioned here in verse 19 if it passes knowledge, if it is beyond something that we can know by learning? And there's only one way: by God showing us those hidden mysteries. There's many places in the book of 1 John and in the Gospel of John that talk about us knowing that we're the children of God. I want to read a few. If you'd like to turn with me, I'll be flipping to a few of these scriptures. In 1 John, we read, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." And I read that and I thought, how could John say that we know all things? There's a lot of stuff that I know I don't know. But John explains it in the next verse. He says, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. If God had been pleased to open your understanding about the truth of things concerning Christ, about who he truly is and what he has done, you know everything you need to know. You know all things that are needed in order to possess eternal life. There's nothing else to learn when it comes to salvation. Therefore, John is able to say, we know all things." Now, that is not to say that we don't grow in grace and understanding of the person and work of Christ, because the Scriptures plainly say that we do. But once God gives us that gift of faith, he gives us that new heart of love for him, and we see Christ as all we need to stand wholly justified before God, we know all that we need to know. Everything else we learn of Christ is just to increase our love and knowledge of him. But increased knowledge does not make us more saved than when we first believed. In the same way that learning and growing physically doesn't make us more alive than the day we were first born. In the book of the Gospel of John, 1 John, while you're in 1 John, chapter 3, verse 5, we read, "And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." This word "manifested" comes from the Greek word phaneru, which means to make apparent. How do we know that he was manifested to take away our sins? In the book of John, in the Gospel of John, Christ speaking to his disciples, John 14, this is how we know Christ was manifested to take away our sins. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 18, says, "And I will not leave you comfortless." This is Christ speaking to his disciples. "I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Christ tells us, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father. How will we know that? Christ tells us that he will show us things concerning his person, his attributes, his finished work, his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness toward sinners. Christ said, I will reveal to him the things of Christ. And then while we're in the book of John, turn over a few pages to chapter 10. This is speaking of Christ to his disciples about things that we know. John chapter 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Christ is known by us as we hear his voice, and the voice of another, we're told, we will not follow, but will flee from the voice of a stranger. Not because we're smarter than other men. That's not the case. Because he is known of his sheep, because he has been revealed to us as our good shepherd. And he has taught us all things that we need to know to be found in him. He careth. He continually watches over his sheep, providing all that is needed in this life and that which is to come. And Christ tells us in that verse we just read from John, he said, at that day you shall know. At what day? At the day that Christ comes to us by his Spirit. And he promises, and I will manifest myself unto him. This word manifest means to make evident or certain by showing or revealing, which is what the Spirit does. He reveals Christ to us so that we see everything we need is to be found in him. All wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption is found in the person of Christ. And he is revealed to such, as such, to his people. We understand that the work is done. We understand that Christ, when he declared, it is finished, he meant just that. If something is finished, it is brought to a state of completeness. That is why Paul could tell the Colossians, ye are complete in him. Nothing lacking. And this is shown to us by the Spirit. It is manifested unto us. While we're in John, Christ, in his prayer to his Father in chapter 17, said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Paul told Timothy that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Turn back with me to 1 John again. 1 John chapter 3. I want to read just a few verses. 1 John chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us. Some people say that you can never really know if someone believes on Christ. And yet our Lord told us that there is a way to know. He said this in John 13:35. He said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And in that text we just read in 1 John, every time I read that in verse 22, I have to stop and reread it again, because what I see in that verse does not correspond to what I see in my life. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. And it says, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I don't know about you, but I don't go 5 minutes of a day without breaking one of God's commandments. And I certainly don't spend any time doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. And I'm sure it's that way with you. Yet, here it is in God's Word. So there's only one way that these things can be said of us, and that's found in verse 24. He says, we keep His commandments, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him. Since we are in Christ, it can therefore be said that we keep His commandments. And how do we know that we dwell in Him? The answer is found in 1 John 4:13. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. This is explained by Paul in the verses we read at the beginning in 1 Corinthians. Turn back there with me. I want to read a couple of these again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. I want to read this again. I know I've already read it. But as it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." We are told again, as we're told so many other times in the Scripture, that we know these things by revelation. Verse 12 tells us that these things of God are received and are freely given to us, that we might indeed know the things of God. And I especially like the wording of that verse concerning the things that are given to us. They're given to us freely. No strings attached, no terms or conditions, freely. Back in John, 1 John 5, verses 18 through 20, 1 John 5, 18 through 20, we read, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Spirit, or the Son of God, has come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And how do we know all these things that are here spoken of? I've already mentioned this. We know by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another meaning of evidence is something that furnishes proof, such as testimony. In Psalm 93:5, the psalmist declared, "Thy testimonies are very sure." Not just pretty sure, very sure. If God promises it, it shall indeed come to pass, because none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" And in Psalm 119:24, we read, "Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors." We delight in the testimonies of God concerning his Son because they're the basis of our assurance. We know that the Word of God is sure, so anything that we read can be accepted as true. And it says his testimonies are our counselors, our guides on how we ought to live our lives as honoring to God. In this same psalm, in verse 88, the psalmist reads, or says, "Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." Once we are quickened, made alive in Christ, we keep all of the testimonies of God because we're in Christ. We certainly don't keep them in ourselves, but through Christ and his finished work, we keep all of the testimonies of God. So we've seen that we can know for sure that we are in Christ and he is in us. Let me read a few verses in closing, back over in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John 17. This is our Lord speaking to the things which his people know. Verse 1, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and that they might know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." Now drop down to verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, and thou, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." In these verses, Christ is speaking to the Father, and he declares that his disciples knew that he was indeed the Christ that should come into the world, and that they also knew that his testimonies were true. And by the gift of faith and the gift of the Spirit, we can also know that his word is true and rest therein. rest in all the promises that we find in these 66 books, knowing that what we read therein is true. And if you're sitting here today or listening over the streaming and have not been given saving faith in Christ, I pray that today might be the day that God grants you the ability to know the things that I've spoken of and to know His dear Son, in whom is life, liberty, salvation, forgiveness, and righteousness. I hope that has been a help. Lord willing, this coming Lord's Day, Walter Pendleton, who is Paul's brother, will be with us to preach to us. And a week from tonight, we are scheduled to have Frank Tate back with us. Frank wasn't able to come a couple of weeks ago because of the ice storm, but Lord willing, he'll be back a week from tonight. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.